Today I am here with the text Philippians chapter 3 verse 1 to 3 for all of us. The theme is rejoicing in the Lord. I have chosen Philippians because Philippians is the epistle of joy. We all want to be joyful, don't we? And what did the Lord say in John chapter 15? He says, it is written in John chapter 15, "This thing I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Brothers and sisters, you know, Christian is characterized by joy. So let's read this passage that we may know the joy God wants us to have. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision." In the NASB it's written, "For we are the true circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." This is the word of God. If God wants us to be joyful, and indeed, and since He has given us joy, why are all suffering in this world? We encounter every day in our lives or in the lives of others whom we care. We do not receive all news with smiles. Or working all day long in a workplace and missing home is not a happy thing. Serving others with having a back pain is frustrating. It's not something you enjoy most. And most importantly, the struggle against sins is a grief for us in our Christian life. When is the last time you cried out to God for forgiveness and repentance? For me, almost every day I cried out to God, "I fail here or there." And when you see the wicked people or ungodly neighbor prospering in wicked ways, and you who live by the Christian values is not noticed by your superiors or by others, it is not the thing you always want to experience it. Our life is full of such things. In fact, this is life. How can we be joyful? How can we be rejoicing? That's exactly what the book of Philippians is about. And in it, it says, rejoice. Mind the words, it's not be happy, it is rejoice. In fact, you will not see the word be happy or happy in this whole verse of the Philippians, in the whole book of Philippians. I may say, God is not interested in your happiness, but He is interested in your joy, and He gives you to be joyful. Because happiness is based on happenstance. It's based on happenings, on temporary occasions. It is a mood. But joy is not. So the Bible says, rejoice. The secular world might use joy and happiness interchangeably, but the Bible makes a clear distinction between joy and happiness. Christians are told to be joyful, not for happenings, but for who they are in Christ. Even Jesus wept when seeing the consequence of the world in John chapter 11, verse 35. We rejoice in new creation, our new identity in Christ. Our joy soars above all happenings, circumstances, and problems. I'm not standing here saying I'm joyful all the time since I was born again. In fact, none of us dare say that. So the Bible tells us to be joyful. We are not joyful all the times. The Philippians were not rejoicing. They are like us, concerning about our day-to-day lives happening, what will be tomorrow, and what will be happening later on. The book of Philippians is about rejoicing in Christian living. Since Christianity is in Christ, our way of living should demonstrate the gospel of Christ. We are in the world, but not of the world. Therefore, this world should not suck up our joy. We should be joyful. That's what we are going to see in the book of Philippians. In fact, it is commanded, rejoice. it says. If you do not rejoice, it means you are not what you claim to be, because that's a characteristic of Christian. That's it. The word joy, rejoice, cheer, or glad are used more than 17 times in the book of this Philippians. Each chapter has the word rejoice. By the way, you will not see here Paul talking about the way of salvation by grace through faith. He assumed that the people of Philippians are already saved. And he is writing to Philippians to be joyful no matter what, because they are in Christ. And in Christ is everything for Christian to be joyful. And before we go to the chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, I would just like to give the background of the whole book of Philippians. We'll be turning back and front the book of Philippians. In the chapter 1, it's about Paul rejoicing in his suffering. And so must we, because to live is Christ. Philippians, the letter of joy, is penned in suffering. Paul was in prison. If you look in chapter 1, verse 4, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So Paul, in his suffering, in his imprisonment, and in his opposition from others, how did he respond? We will be seeing that one from verse 18 to 21, and I think we can just read it. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His joy is not from circumstances. Paul rejoices because he is in Christ. And in chapter 2, it's about rejoicing in service, in working, looking at the example of the humility of Christ, the way he served for humankind to the point of death. We are to do like that because we have the mind of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says, verse 5, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it says that we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, verse 14, do not complain, do not grumble, do not question. But verse 18, be rejoicing. And then if we look to chapter 4, it is about rejoicing in uncertainty. Uncertainty, it may be for us, it may be in our jobs. It might be how to bring up our kids. It might be our bank accounts, whatever, because Christ is sufficiently gracious. Look at verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And even in verse 13 it says, I can do all things through him who strengthened me. Therefore, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious. And the verse 4 says, be rejoicing. Then on verse 8 onwards of chapter 4, it says, Christian need to pursue after Christian values, even if no one notices it. Even if non-Christian prosper by false means, we are to pursue after godliness because we are in Christ and are rejoicing, our joy comes from Christ. That's what we see from the book of Philippians. And now, the text which we are going to study today is chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Paul is telling to the Philippians to be rejoicing in their imperfectness, in their imperfection, in our failings. Because Christ has set our future. We can see that in verse 21. Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And in verse 20 it says, we are the citizens of heaven. We are to rejoice for who we are, and not for the circumstances of the world. Therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, rejoice in the Lord. Here in this chapter, verse 1 to 3, Paul is writing to the Philippians to be rejoicing by telling them things they have already known. It's all message. For it is safe for them. Brothers and sisters, we will see three things from this passage we need to know to rejoice in the Lord. Firstly, we need to be reminded of the same old news. Look at verse 1. To write the same things. It's written there. Paul did not hesitate to write the same things. The church of God do not have a new message. We are coming to church not to hear a new message. And Apostle John, whenever he writes about loving one another, he says, this is not a new commandment, but an old commandment which we have heard from the very beginning. And even Paul, when he gave the scriptural definition of gospel to the Corinthians, he said, let me remind you, in 1 Corinthians 15, the message of Christianity is the same old news of 2,000 years ago. That is, in Jesus Christ alone is the salvation. In Him is everything. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Sunday after Sunday. For Christian, it is not to be saved, for we are saved already, but to live worthy according to the gospel, as Philippians 1:27 says. And by the way, that is the first commandment written in the book of all Philippians. And here in verse 1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Paul used the word finally. But then he continued to write two more chapters, chapter 3 and 4. And in chapter 4, verse 8, if you turn there, verse 8, it says, finally. He is using the word finally again. Here, Paul do not mean to conclude it, but Paul is doing in a way of beginning a new topic. Literally, finally means for the rest. What Paul had to say. Then he writes about warning, chapter 3 onwards. So in chapter 2, he was exhorting the Philippians believers. And in chapter 3, he is giving a warning. We see the transition. So Paul is using the word finally here, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Paul is telling them to rejoice because we are not joyful at all times. Our joy is stolen because we do not remember what we ought to always remember. We need to be repeatedly told to remember who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. We need to be constantly reminded that our imperfection here will turn to glorious bodies someday. Without those, we have no basis of to be joyful. For in our human strength, we are just falling short. Our rejoicing is not on what we fail to do, but it is in the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means in the Lord. Here Paul is saying, don't rejoice in worldly things, neither in the failures of somebody, nor in your own successes. There can be a harm, but in the Lord we are commanded to rejoice. And Paul is here using the same thing. The same thing he has to write could be either to rejoice or about the warning. Because in chapter 4, verse 4, he writes in this way, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. However, I think it has more to do about the warning which Paul is about to give from verse 3 onwards. Because Paul is not hesitating to write the same thing. A commandment of warning seems to be boring, seems to be hesitating to write it. But here Paul did not, because it is safe for them. For to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you, Paul says. The Greek word for safe here is a negation. In other translation, it would be a safeguard. In Greek, it is a negation to express positive meaning, to mean unfailing, which supposed that they could be falling if they do not take heed to the warning which Paul is giving to them. And you can see the repeated word here in verse 3 onwards in a triad way. It's written here, look out for the dogs. Look out, repeated word, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Or look out for the cutters. That's what we see here. Also in Philippians chapter 1 verse 28, Paul has warned there already. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. So Paul has written, has given the warning already even in these same letters. But it could be also true that Paul had stayed in the Philippians. It is he who planted the church and he has taught the church of Philippians. And so he has been warning them about the false teaching spreading on. Or it could be also true that Paul, he write to the Philippians believers before, for they have a very caring relationship with Paul, as we see throughout the book of Philippians, especially in the last section of the chapter. But why is Paul commanding them to be joyful by repeating his warning to them? It is because the false teaching will kill your joy if they do not hold on or stand firm in the truth. They need to be repeatedly told. We Christians need to take heed to the warning of the Bible. We must be told again and again so that we are safe from false teaching. That's not hard to understand. For instance, you must have received lots of email or SMS telling you that you have won a lottery and that you need to send your bank accounts. And the bank tells you that you are not to do that one because bank will never ask about your personal information. If you do not take the heed, if you do not take heed of the warning, you could lose all your money from your account. Warning is important for us to maintain joy. Paul is not tired of writing to them the same thing. In fact, Jesus told us to have the Lord's Supper as often as we should be doing. Why? Because that we may constantly reminded of Him of what He has done for us. Because the gospel of Christ alone is the basis for our joy. It is very easy for us to condemn ourselves, to have self-pity and stay away from God when we fall in our natural man, in our flesh. But our acceptance is not because of our works. So neither our works can separate us from the love of God. Our future is set. We are citizens of heaven. We do not bother our imperfection here, but we rejoice in God, who will glorify us someday, as it's written in chapter 3, verse 21. Secondly, we need to hold on to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ for us to be joyful. In the verse 2, we see there, Paul warning them, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Paul is telling them, beware, be careful of them. It's a warning. Positively, it is saying, hold fast, hold on, stand firm. By the way, we see such positive exhortation in chapter 1, verse 27. Standing firm in one spirit. Also in chapter 2, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life. In chapter 3, verse 12 to 16 also, we see there, Paul saying, I do not consider, as Jesus Christ has made me his own brother, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting that lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here basically it is telling, hold on to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Do not deter from it. Do not get frightened. That's what Paul is telling them here. We need to hold fast because only Jesus set us free. It is not our works. False teaching always kills joys. Here Paul is not talking about dog the animals when he say here, look out for dogs. This is a figure of speech. And it is known as hypocatastasis. It's not a simile, it's not a metaphor. It's a hypocatastasis, by which it means Paul is addressing to them directly as a dog, not like dog or you dog of Jews. He says, look out for the dogs. He's talking about the Judaizers here, who do not believe in the sufficiency of the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation. By the way, you will not see the word Judaizers in the whole Bible. So let me just tell you what it means. This is the term referred to those Jews of those days who teaches that physical circumcision and law of Moses are necessary to be the people of God. Paul is warning the Philippians Christian not to be frightened of such people, enforcement of such people demands to the Gentiles Christians who are in Philippians. They should be rejoicing in a simple gospel, not in circumcision, not in the law of Moses. In the simple message of the cross, that is by grace through faith they are saved, not by works, not by following the 613 commandments found in the Mosaic law, the Sabbaths, the unclean food, and the circumcision. Circumcision is the cutting of the foreskin of Jewish male organ to identify themselves as the people of God. However, this physical circumcision is just a symbol of physical purification. It points to the need of the spiritual purification, the circumcision of her, which in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, Moses told them, circumcise the foreskins of your heart, be no longer stubborn. It's pointing toward the spiritual circumcision, not the physical circumcision. The Judaizers and Jews taught that they are the people of God. They are accepted by God. They are saved by God because they did a physical circumcision. But it is not. Indeed, they are the people of Israel as a nation because they are the children of Abraham and the children of Jacob. But Christian is not an Israel. So the Gentiles, the Philippians believers, they do no longer need circumcision. They don't need to do that. Moreover, physical circumcision has nothing to do with salvation. Christ is the salvation. And then Paul says in this verse, he's addressing these Judaizers in a very serious way. He described these heretics in a three different way. We see that one. He called them dog, evildoers. And in other translation, it will be written cutters. The people who do mutilation, the people who do concision. The reason Paul is addressing here in this way is because they assault the gospel of Christ. They are saying Christ's death is not sufficient, but requires religiosity in the sense that they need to obey all the Mosaic law. They preach another gospel. In Galatians, Paul says, whoever preaches another gospel, be the apostles, be the angels, let them be accursed. So Paul is addressing them in this very offensive way because they're preaching another gospel. By the way, we can't go around calling people dogs. We have no comparison with Paul in our compassion towards them or in our persuasion or in reaching toward them or more or less, we do not have opponents like Paul. Just because your neighbor says or your friend says that we are to be saved because of works, we cannot call them dogs. We need to understand the context here why Paul is addressing them. It is the characters of the Judaizers. And of course, there are many religious people from the inception of the church till today who deserve such offensive name whom we can call them dogs, evildoers, and cutters. And this verse is a very well-constructed warning. It does not say, look out for dogs, evildoers, and cutters. But it repeats the words, look out for, three times in a single verse. This is to emphasize the seriousness of warning and the characters of these Judaizers. These imperatives, these commandments are not for three types of people. It is for Judaizers in three forms. The word look out is a present active verb. Therefore, it means keep looking out. Be constantly aware. Be always on alert. This is an ongoing alertness Christian must have until the Lord comes. No imposing of man's work over Christ's sufficient work, for it kills joy. Paul is playing word here. The Jews regard Gentiles as dogs. In the Gospel of Matthew, if you remember, the story of a Canaanite woman coming to Jesus Christ crying for mercy, and Jesus said, I was sent for Israel. It is not right to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Gentiles are known as dogs for Jews. The reason is because they are unholy, unclean people. They are unacceptable to God. That is the reason they are telling them that it is dog. They need to be separated from them. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 23, it is written, you should not bring the wages of a prostitute and a price of dog into the house of God. That is the level of dog. Paul is telling these Jews that they are dogs because they impose Moses' law upon Gentile Christians. They are diluting the gospel. Moses' law never saves anyone. Moreover, nobody can perfect the law. Nobody can obey. Nobody can fulfill the law perfectly. So, Paul is addressing them as dog here. And as well as Peter in his epistles also talk about dog going back to its vomit. Jews who claim, who claims to recognize Jesus as Savior, go back to the works of the law for their salvation. They are dogs who go back to its vomit. So we can see the